In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Joyous feast. This morning we celebrate the feast of All Saints of North America. We remember the women and the men and the children who shine forth in this land as torchbearers of the gospel. Some are known, so many are unknown. But this day we give thanks for all of them, for their love of Christ, for their deep sanctity. Sanctity that flows from the Holy Spirit through them and out into all the world. And each North American saint is different. That's the thing about holiness. Holiness is fascinating. Holiness is beguiling. At St. Vladimir's Seminary, Father Alexander Schmemann used to say to his students that it is sin that is boring. Sins are always the same. There aren't any new ones. But holiness is different. The saints are endlessly fascinating. And this is so because there is an endless variety in their lives, and in particular in the ways in which they love Jesus Christ. The stories of our glorified saints are certainly, the ones here in North America, they are certainly this way. Herman is a simple monk who defends the Alaskan natives against the abuses of businessmen while preaching the gospel. Innocent is a scientist and a linguist. He spreads the gospel to Alaska, but he first learns the several languages spoken there, and he makes a study of the natural world that shapes the Alaskan vision. Tikhon, the confessor, is a gifted administrator and a tireless traveler. Olga was a midwife. Saint Raphael was born in Lebanon, educated first in Constantinople, then in Kiev. He was the first bishop ordained in North America, and he started dozens of churches, all the while speaking Arabic and Greek and Russian and English and who knows what else to the many, many souls in his flock. Peter of Alaska was a convert and a teenager who died a martyr's death. It is sin that is boring, holiness that is fascinating. And each saint is called by God to be who they are in their uniqueness and in the places they live. And it has always been this way, always. Yesterday was the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, the leader of the apostles. And from the very beginning, we can see that God calls you to be you. He calls me to be me. He calls us to serve the gospel in all of our weirdness and in all of our complicated particularity. Think of Peter and Paul. Now, the apostles, Peter and Paul, were no doubt, very complicated people. But there is some truth in Scripture to the picture that Peter is someone moved easily by his heart, and Paul is someone who is easily moved by his mind. Peter's a fisherman, a man of strength and endurance. He lives life on the water. And this is a dangerous profession, we know, when the waves and the wind suddenly turn nasty, or the nets begin to break, or the boat begins to tip. You don't have time to think. You only have time to act and to trust your gut, to listen to your heart. And Peter's heart tells him to trust the Lord, to follow Christ, that Jesus is the only one who has the words of life. Peter, we know in Scripture, would often speak first, declaring his love and allegiance to Christ, and only later would he realize that this is a risky thing. Peter follows his heart, and it lands in him in some really tough places here and there. But his heart also tells him over and over that Christ is a loving Lord, a Lord who sees the heart and overlooks poor execution. After the resurrection, when Jesus comes to visit his disciples, he seeks out Peter. This Peter who shamefully abandoned Christ on the day of his crucifixion, and he asks Peter three times a really, really important question. And that question is not, Peter, do you believe in me? The question asked by Jesus to Peter three times is, Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Peter leads with his heart. Peter leads with love. And although he makes mistakes, although he gets himself into some tough situations, Jesus does not lecture Peter. Jesus does not pick apart his decisions and his poor planning. Jesus does not send Peter to seminary. Instead, Jesus celebrates the very thing that makes Peter, Peter. He celebrates Peter's heart. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Simon, how is your heart? Is it still in the right place? Does your heart still belong to me after my crucifixion? Holiness is fascinating. And then there is the Apostle Paul. And if Peter leads with his heart, for certain Paul leads with his mind. Paul, formerly called Saul, is a brilliant scholar. He's a Pharisee's Pharisee by his own description. No one knows Scripture better than Paul. And this is, in fact, why he first persecutes the church. He's an enemy of the church. He's convinced that the Christians have it wrong. And it takes blinding light and the voice of the Lord himself on that road to Damascus to change Paul's mind. But once that mind is changed, once Paul sees that light both literally and spiritually, then his body is forced to go wherever his mind decides to lead it. Paul is not a fisherman. He doesn't have Peter's broad shoulders and strong hands. Paul is not an outdoorsy type. He's a man of letters, a man of books. He is led by truth, and he spends a lifetime looking for truth and studying the commandments of God. Paul is more bookworm than blue collar, and we know that from Scripture. His body is weak. His body is prone to afflictions. And goodness knows his life as an apostle is hard on him. Shipwrecks and beatings and hunger and prisons. But Paul can't help himself. His body says no, but his mind says yes. His body says stop, but his mind says go. Peter leads with his heart, and Paul leads with his mind. Peter loves the Lord and is given the keys of the kingdom, and Paul knows the Lord and is given those same keys. And the icon of the feast day, which is one of the three there before us in the middle of the church, Peter and Paul together hold the entire church in their hands. The heart of Peter and the mind of Paul combine to lay down an unbreakable foundation for the life of the body of Christ. And you and I are reminded this day that to be a Christian, each of us is called to follow both of these two great examples. Like Peter, let your heart lead you. Let your love for the Lord outshine all other loves. Let your love be risky. Don't worry about making mistakes. The kingdom will prevail, and Christ will be there to debrief you, not by flunking your action plan, but by asking the same question that he asked Peter at the end of a really hard day. But Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And like Paul, let your mind be your lead. For us as Christians, truth is not a proposition. Truth is not a set of sentences. Truth is a person. Christ himself is the truth. And the light of Christ is the light by which we see the world and in which we must see one another. And so, like Paul, don't worry about your disadvantages. Care only for the truth. Jesus will take care of the rest. Care only for the good news that in Christ there is fullness and divine fellowship. And as Jesus says to Paul, and as he says to you and me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus calls to your heart this morning. Jesus calls to your mind. We're reminded on this glorious feast day that each Christian receives the call to be both, to be a little bit Peter and to be a little bit Paul. Amen.